Theater of the Mind.
Like most red-blooded American males, I'm fascinated by violence and by the techniques and implements of war. Military history from ancient times to the present is utterly spellbinding to me, not only for its epic drama and horror, but its complexity as well. It's not just a matter of who's bigger or stronger. A comparatively weak or disadvantaged combatant can still emerge the victor of a fight if he or she is able to take advantage of any number of other conditions. Military experts from the legendary Sun Tzu of ancient China to the general of a modern high-tech army will tell you that every advantage needs to be taken to ensure victory while minimizing losses. That whole thing about don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes is a creation of Hollywood. This isn't a sporting event. The very concept of a fair fight is bullshit when real life and death are at stake. Overwhelming numbers, cover of darkness, misinformation, and dirty tricks prevail. If you wouldn't let opposing players know what cards you're playing in a poker game, you're certainly not going to give away your battle strategy and give even odds to someone who wants to kill you. Lethality must often go disguised. Few were as effective at the art of deadly deception as the legendary ninja. The fighting art of ninjutsu itself is one of simplicity and efficiency, but it was made all the deadlier by the ninja's mastery of disguise and deception. The mystical superpowers attributed to them in the movies is pure hokum. These guys were just plain good at being sneaky. They didn't have the power of invisibility, but they knew how to misdirect, hide, and act so well that a small squad of soldiers could seemingly vanish into thin air, when in fact they simply blended into the crowd and nonchalantly walked away. It's amazing how efficient an attack can be when the targets don't know what's coming at them or what direction it's coming from. This is certainly a familiar mindset to the Haunter. While our aims are much more peaceful than those of the ninja or the soldier, we all know that good, effective scares are going to have the best effect when our victims are off their guard. Haunting is a creative endeavor, a means of expression. Therefore, one naturally tends to think of it in terms of what one wishes to showcase, what he or she wants people to see. But for sake of quality, there's a lot that the Haunter wants to keep concealed. Think in terms of a magic show. Everyone in the audience knows full well that the miracles they're witnessing on stage are fraudulent. There is no real conjuring going on. All of the feats witnessed are carefully engineered deceptions designed to give the impression that the performer is performing the impossible. In their world, there are mirrors, wires, false panels, and countless diversions being employed to give the illusion that the laws of physics are being violated, and everyone knows it. The fun is in the deception. People love being fooled, and the conjurer or haunter, unlike the con man or politician, is loved and respected for his deceit, because being fooled is precisely what the audience is paying for. So, what does the haunter have to hide? Well, there are two general categories of things to secrete: hidden surprises and support structures or design details that no one needs to see. Both are hidden for the same reason. Leaving them visible would destroy the overall illusion and take the audience, as they say, out of the moment. Unless your haunt is set up as a display with all static elements, you probably have some scares set up, and to some degree their success will depend on the element of surprise. Veteran haunters know from experience that this can be trickier than it sounds, because people coming through the haunt are expecting them. Every shadow, every corner, every nook and cranny, in other words, every place that would be ideal for hiding something, will be eyed with suspicion. Maximizing the effect of a hidden scare will pivot on the haunter's ability to distract the audience or eliminate any telltale signs that something is lying in wait for them. In the military, this is known as OPSEC, or operational security. You can't let the other side know what you've got or where it is in advance, or they'll be ready for it, and your attacks, or in our case, scares, will be neutralized. One way around this is to use some sort of barrier or shielding that conceals the surprise, like a movable wall panel or curtain that moves away at the moment of reveal. The problem with this is that it takes time, even if it is just a fraction of a second or two, to remove the barrier, which telegraphs the scare. The surprise itself loses a bit of effect because the audience knows it's coming and sees exactly where it's going to be, which makes the method of concealment itself rather self-defeating. Any reveal of this type needs to be fast if it's going to work. A curtain, for example, could be swept aside by a cord attached to a falling weight or stretched bungee, which would whisk the fabric away in one lightning move. One time-tested and perennial favorite among removable barriers is the venerable drop panel, which is usually only about 3 by 3 feet or smaller and drops very quickly. This can be wonderfully effective so long as the audience doesn't identify the panel as being one before it drops. I've been in haunts where a blank panel is set in a blank wall, which is ludicrous as it clearly calls attention to itself by being a closed window. Of course they're going to expect it to open and scare them. Why else would it be there? But if wood molding is mounted around the window like a picture frame, and the panel itself contains a painting, mirror, or blackboard that fits in with the general set dressing, the gag maintains at least some possibility that it's just a decoration and not a surprise waiting to go off. Just make sure that whatever you decorate the panel with is unbreakable and won't be torn up by your panel sliding up and down in its frame over and over. Which leads us to the general concept of mimicry. If you can't effectively hide something from view, make it look like something else. Think trash can trauma. Any harmless-looking object can erupt with a hidden threat. A shrub can suddenly burst open to reveal a hideous, man-eating, herbaceous horror. The roast turkey on the table can suddenly reveal a gaping maw full of fangs lunging and snapping at passers-by. Or the elegantly laid-out tabletop itself can actually be the top of a box that pops open to reveal a pop-up corpse. Think outside the box and view any three-dimensional object in a scene as something that can suddenly become or unleash something else. One fun benefit of this sort of concealed surprise is that it can pack a 1-2 punch of fright and comedy. When an ordinary object reveals itself to be a camouflaged monster, the resulting scream is often followed by laughter, which can be a lot of fun. Granted, some haunters prefer to be 100% serious and scary, but the principal purpose of a haunt is to entertain, and a slap of comic relief or two can be a welcome highlight. It also helps ease tension, which can help put them back off their guard and make the next scare that much more effective. At some point, however, you're going to have a really cool prop or setup that's just too big to disguise or reveal with a movable barrier. And at that point, your best disguise is the cloak of darkness. Have the big scary set up in a spot that is completely without lighting and use lights to reveal it. Of course, if the hauntgoers have been wandering through a fairly dark haunt, their eyes are at least partially adjusted to the dim lighting, and they may see the thing waiting for them from the little bit of light leakage from other areas. Fortunately, the human eye will force itself to focus on a well-lit object in the foreground to the detriment of anything in the shadows behind it. So, if something is brightly and precisely lit in front of your dark surprise without throwing any light beyond, the reveal is just a matter of pulling a switcheroo with the lights, darkening the distraction element, and illuminating the scare. If you don't want to go that route, you can always just play dirty and knock out their night vision. Have them walk through a very brightly lit scene with plenty of bright colors and intense white and blue light for about 15 seconds, or head directly into the glare of a floodlight facing them. After that, a dark room that would be otherwise navigable becomes as dark as the inside of a basketball, and your hidden horror is perfectly concealed until you turn the lights on. Strobe lights are especially good for this sort of optical preemptive strike, unless you're overly concerned about liability regarding epilepsy and seizures. If you use strobes in a haunt, always post a warning outside so anyone going in knows and makes their own decision whether or not to enter. Finally, there are things you just don't want people to see in the haunt. Power cables, hoses, fog conduit, seams, lighting fixtures, and structural elements abound in haunts, and while everyone knows they're walking through a stage set, the more there is to remind them of it, the harder it is to maintain that willing suspension of disbelief. It's like watching an old Toho Studios movie. The monster may be silly enough looking as it is, but you can just about ignore it and accept the action going on until you see that damn zipper in the rubber suit, and then the whole thing just becomes pure comedy. This is where building a model or using a 3D software like SketchUp or 3D Home can come in really handy. You have time to think about where all the joins and seams and beams and cables are going to have to be, and their concealment becomes more a part of the overall design plan and less something that's done on the fly during construction and final set dressing. Many of these objects can be hidden behind walls or scenic elements or even integrated into them. Lighting, for example, is more concealable than ever thanks to LED technology. Cool-burning mini spotlights are now small enough to be hidden in a hollow in the back of a tombstone or inside a flower arrangement. Cables and hoses can be disguised to look like vines or snakes or even entrails, so long as some purely visual versions are scattered among them so they'll just blend in with the decor. Join spots between wall panels can be covered with faux wood molding or posts, and there are always conventional principles of camouflage. The eye tends to look for patterns and the disruption thereof. If the outlines of something can have other patterns superimposed over and around it, the outlines become obscured, and the object tends to not grab attention when someone is visually scanning that area. If the object to be concealed is painted in a mottled and irregular pattern of light and dark, and then placed in front of a likewise irregular background, the object will stand out less. In addition to wallpaper patterns or foliage, shadows from lights shining through plants or ornate grillwork can be cast in an area and provide an extra layer of visual busyness, so to speak. So long as these mundane objects are easily lost in the set's details, they become much less interesting than the intentional design elements, and people simply don't notice them. In the ultimate quest for that credible, fully immersive fantasy world that the proprietors of Dark Rose Manor dubbed the Art Haunt, haunters find themselves confronted with two basic challenges. One, to provide lots of cool stuff to flesh out the imaginary nightmare and bring it to life. And two, to eliminate any reference to the real world that it resides in and any visual cues that it is, in fact, an artificial construct. From the perspective of the hauntgoer, a perfectly seamless and realistic-looking execution can have as much impact as the details and effects. Even if only subconsciously, people notice and are impressed by perfection. And perfection is not a measure of how many outstanding qualities something has, so much as a measure of how flawless it is. Not all haunters have a big budget for huge, impressive props and scenic backgrounds. But a simple, atmospheric, and well-acted haunt of flawless consistency can impress an audience just as much as a high-dollar but hastily constructed propaganda with lots of 2x4s, foggers, and extension cords showing. When finalizing designs for the haunt, it behooves haunters to not only spend time considering how to show things, but also how to hide them. In a very real sense, it's what the audience sees that makes a haunt awesome, but it's what they don't see that makes it perfect. Be sure to leave the ghost light burning. From the Theater of the Mind, I'm Revenant, and you're listening to Hauntcast.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.